Hail the Flashlight King.
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the Keeper of Common Sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Nope, it's Reavers here in the GL Podcast Studios, Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores, bringing you this best of edition of Garage Logic. The mayor is recovering, and he'll tell you more about it tomorrow. I spent a few minutes on the phone with him today, but he needed to stay home today, so an unexpected best of, but everything's okay. He'll be back with us tomorrow to do the show here live in the GL Podcast Studios again. And so I was looking through the archives of a lot of the shows that we have done, and that's the phrase that stuck with me, because one of my favorite episodes that we've done over the past couple of years is when Frank Caliendo joined us in studio, and we need some laughs, right, in the crazy world that we live in currently. So that's the one I chose for today. So I hope you enjoy this best of Garage Logic.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1159. September 27th, 2023.
Dear, is that what you're looking for? Yeah. 1,159.
Oh, nicely done.
Gosh. Oh, I had no idea. That's incredible.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank.
Whoa. Try and finish this. The whole show is going to be reacting to the number of podcasts.
88 degrees on this day in 1987. 29 degrees.
Whoa, in 1987.
That's right.
29 degrees. Holy cow.
And well, I mentioned that, Frank, because we're issuing heat warnings now for the Twin Cities Marathon this weekend.
Oh, really?
Because it might be 84 or 83. But on this day in 1987, it was 88, Frank. And on this day in 1991, when we had a Halloween blizzard coming up, Frank, it was 29 degrees.
It's really going to drive me nuts throughout this podcast.
Hail the Flashlight King.
Frank, it's like Seinfeld. Did you ever watch Seinfeld? They go, what do you think, Kramer?
Oh, I think that's good, Jerry.
What do you think, George?
I don't know, Jerry.
Okay. Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop.
You want me to just kill the theme?
We good? Sure,
Frank Caliendo's at the comic.
Why is the theme going? Why are you talking? Don't do my plug over the theme.
And of course, Rookie. Of course, Rookie was knocked off.
What's happening?
Well, then turn it up.
No, it's over. I don't want to. It's over.
Frank Caliendo is with us. He's at the Acme Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night. I believe those are sold out.
There's, I think there's a few, there's probably 20 tickets left tonight and 5 or 10 tomorrow.
All right. And you flew into town last night.
I did.
You're on the Frank Caliendo Comedy 2023 tour.
I mean, all of that in that statement is true. I don't know if it's actually called that, but kind of, I'm just doing some shows to try and remember how to do stand-up and goof around. And
what is the end game for doing these shows? Where do you want to take this? An HBO special?
Maybe work on some new stuff to get out there. Yeah, it's kind of just get. I don't get up and write unless I have a reason to, so yeah. That's more it. I'm semi-retired. You wouldn't understand. And
that is so accurate, Frank. That is so accurate.
I've got, my life has become just more or less trying to keep my kids from hating me, so...
Yeah. You're not in L.A. anymore. You're not in Abbott and Costello's house.
No. You remember that? You looked that up. What was it?
No, you told us about it.
Did you use that as a selling point?
They might have. My wife had some celebrity real estate agent do it, so okay. I don't know. I don't remember what...
And you're in Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah, right down the street from Arizona State.
Why did you leave L.A.?
I didn't want to raise my kids in Los Angeles. Right. Was more of it. I just was, the Phoenix ended up being a place that Tempe is right outside of Phoenix, just basically a suburb where Arizona State is, where people from the Midwest went to not be cold anymore.
Right.
There was a mix of Southwestern culture, people from California leaving for tax reasons. So that was basically, there was an amalgamation of different, groupings of different people. I don't know if amalgamation is the right word, but I used it.
That word is, screw that word.
Yeah.
That's too big.
I don't know. I don't even know. I'm not sure if it's right.
correct.
But you're Chicago born, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Maybe are you working your way back here, maybe to the Midwest? Are you like being warm?
Working my way back to you?
Yeah, babe.
Let's see. Yeah. I just come out to the Midwest because it's not hard for me to sell tickets here. Mm-hmm. So I can go out, and it's more my lane of how I do comedy and just silly, and people know where I'm from. So, you know, know my point of view and such. So it's easier to do that.
Is your act cancel proof?
No one say that. No, I don't think so. I mean,
are you worried about that?
Yeah, totally. I'm overly cautious, and I see a lot of podcasts now where people just go over the top of this. Even when I see, I always use this example when people ask me about that type of stuff. That I watched see a clip of Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino, and I'm going, "Holy cow!" You know, the jokes, Andrew doing like an old school kind of Asian accent, but Bobby would do it, and because it's his dad, you know, and then or watch Theo Vaughn or somebody. I go, "How do they do this?" I think it's all about I think it's really all about tone and stuff like that. But now in this world, that's not really what it is.
Well, right? I'm interested in this. It's affected your business.
I do a lot of corporate work. So as soon as the corporate work dries up, I'll probably do more stuff that pushes the envelope slightly.
Well, who is it that could cancel you?
There's a corporation that has me booked that's going to pay me. They might say, never mind,
you're disinvited.
Yeah, that could be that kind of thing. Yeah. So, and especially being involved in sports and the NFL and all that kind of stuff, always had to walk a much more cautious line. So it's part about where people know you from.
I can't think of anybody better to ask this than you. Will the NFL... I don't even know how to phrase the question. Will they try to make something of this Taylor Swift presence?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Will they run this into the ground?
It's 2023.
Right.
Everybody milks everything for everything they can.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about a thing I'll probably do later that I'm do John Madden circling Taylor Swift on a video. On a
telestrator.
I mean, you guys did it. I mean, you got Travis Kelce down here and then Taylor Swift up there, and then boom. I mean, that's going to be a song pretty soon.
Because
she's probably going to be part of the halftime show.
Yes.
She's always business. I mean, and good for them.
Well, and she's also probably the one entity that the NFL can still use to gain following. You know what I mean?
It's not the true follow. It's not the following of...
Oh, it's 12-year-old girl.
Who watches. You know, it will for the Super Bowl. It'll drive numbers for the Super Bowl if she's involved.
True.
And this whole thing is going to drive numbers. I mean... I watch some of the sarcastic trolls on Twitter and stuff like that because of my son. He sends me stuff a lot. And there's this one guy, Barry. Do you know who Barry is?
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a big black guy?
No. This is a guy who's fake. It's Can you say filthy stuff on here?
Sure. Yeah.
It's not really a shot. It's an innuendo. But Barry McCockiner is that's the guy's name.
He's Irish.
No, yeah. I know exactly who you're talking
and
about.
And he's like, fine. Yeah. It's so great that I think he phrased it this way. It's awful that Taylor Swift used Travis Kelce to try and gain more followers.
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift's audience is in swiftly, so to speak, and just they're stupidly saying Taylor Swift is worth almost $1 billion. Right. He's only making $30 million a year. You know, so stupid. But they don't even know because they don't know anything about football.
They didn't see the net in which they all jump right into.
He's just getting. This guy says things awful and terrible and funny things.
Well, and
the
image is from, I believe, an infomercial from the late 90s or early 2000s of some guy pretending to be a physician or whatever.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's
very funny.
You should pull him up. He's got great.
I'm at the point where I think that whole thing's a bit.
The
Kelce and Swift.
Oh, yeah. I think it's because he's got a podcast.
Yeah.
The New Heights podcast.
Who doesn't?
So yeah, right. I don't. I'm the
you
only one.
You gave yours up. I
gave mine up to be here. And
no, not to be here. You just gave it up.
No, they told me. They told me I can't do it anymore if I want to be here. I'm like, I'm done. I have had it.
But the NFL has jumped on that stuff. Remember when Housewives was big and
Who was the wide receiver?
Terrell Owens.
Owens, when he came on with...
You know my theory.
They used to be their openers.
The league is morphing into a reality TV show, and the damsel in distress will be in the end zone, and the tight end will have to fight the tight end of the other club for her affections. It's headed that way.
Here's the my friend who I did the podcast with, who's part of the Hubbard family, who's got a podcast on Hubbard, is John Holmberg.
Right.
And he's with KUPD, so he's been saying this for years that it's becoming the WWE.
Yes.
So you're saying reality TV show, which is in a way kind of what the WWE. You basically nowadays know it's scripted. Reality TV, the regular audience doesn't realize that's scripted.
Right.
So, and the NFL's even doing commercials about being scripted now, like as a joke, like it's like let's put it right in front of them. I don't think it is scripted, but they love the drama because when I was in sports, most of the people, the producers and stuff, they don't even love sports as much as they love the stories around sports.
Right.
It's not about the sport. Like you watch people and you go, well, they barely talk about sports anymore. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's MTV with music videos because it's the drama that keeps everybody watching. It's not the videos.
Will you go back to television if they
I mean, if I wanted a smaller part right. like that, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to do small part in movies or a TV show. Just a, I don't even want to star in a show. I'd rather just do a piece like a David Spade on what was it? Just Shoot Me. You come in, do your stuff and get out. Yeah. That kind of thing where you just have a character to play and have some fun and not have the whole thing on your shoulders and just elevates you to maybe be able to do some other things. But whenever they think of me, people think of me, they think of all these different impressions and stuff like that, and that's it. And then it's what they end up writing for me, and I end up not getting a character. I end up being myself basically doing these impressions. So,
would you ever SNL? Too much?
I'm too old for that. One, two.
Mad TV was, how long were you on Mad TV?
4 or 5 years. Okay. I don't know. So
that's a grind, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I got out of half of it. I told them I couldn't be there, so I needed to do more NFL stuff, and they believed me because they never did what I wanted to do anyways. Like, half the time, they didn't like the stuff I was wanting to do. So I was like, this isn't really my style of comedy. I'm getting locked into a contract for a while. But Fox got me kind of out of stuff to be able to do some things more NFL. So they cut down the number of episodes I had to do. I've had talks with Bobby Lee about that. He's like, how did you do that? How did you get out? Like, yeah, you know. The NFL is bigger than anything else there, so I pretended like I needed more time, which in some weeks I did, but they weren't using me really to do much there anyways. They would just do a John Madden sketch and then cut any other sketch that I wanted to do and stretch.
It got the likes of me to tune into a pregame, which I don't do now.
Yeah, I mean, the pregame was huge for me. Yeah. I mean, that was a big deal. I mean,
it's a big audience.
Nine years of that. I don't know if it's as big as it was anymore. I don't think anything is on TV, really, but the other issue is everything's been done by Sunday now.
Right.
The internet, podcasts, all the jokes. There weren't comedic sports podcasts or radio shows back 20 years ago.
No.
So when Kimmel was doing stuff, he was the first one to do the joke in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had any, you know, Kimmel did that for the first three or four years on the NFL and Fox. He was before me. And he didn't have to worry about Twitter giving up, you know, doing 10,000 jokes and memes. They already, by the time you get to that segment, you have to tape on Thursday to edit by Sunday.
Right.
The jokes are old now.
Right.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. And they still do some stuff, but it's just hard.
Yeah. Have you ever taught anyone to do an impression?
Oh, I do it all the time.
Can you teach Rookie how to do Trump, for example?
I'll teach him how to do Jesse the Body.
That's a lot better.
I've worked on it just for you.
That ain't no Will Sasso.
No, I still think you might be the best.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
No. Hold the O.
But I'm down in the Baja. The Baja. You got to open your mouth.
Are you off the grid?
I'm off the grid. I don't have, you know, a lot of times when something ends with a D or a P, You hold it.
You hit it hard.
You hit it hard.
Hard.
I'm going to really hit this one hard. But my Jesse is not as good as it used to be.
No, but you don't use it as much anymore, probably. No.
But Trump. Here's what I don't have.
Frank.
I like coffee, but I don't like coffee or naan. I can't get
Christopher Walken, I think.
I need more cowbell. I need cowbell.
Well, here's the first thing you do. Make a face like you're looking
into
an aquarium.
Here it is.
Make a face. Stick your lips out.
Lips out. Lips out.
When your lips are out.
Already better.
Out.
Lips are out.
Hit the T like Jesse.
Hit the T like Jesse.
Jesse. Here's Jesse. Here's Jesse and bring it up to Trump.
Here's Jesse and to bring it up to Trump.
Quite frankly. Actually, you look a lot like Alec Baldwin doing it right now. That's not good.
Everybody duck. Everybody duck.
At the airport, I get that every day.
I didn't see it until you did
Alec
that.
You're
very Alec Baldwin. Not in when he's like...
The good one.
Yeah.
He's not when he's shooting somebody on set.
You're losing track here. You're trying to do Trump.
Back
quite,
to Trump.
Quite.
Whisper it more.
Quite miserably. A lot of people.
A lot of people.
Look at my L.
A lot of people.
Say people.
People.
Tremendously.
Where's the nasal coming?
Tremendous.
I don't think he's that nasal. Biden's very nasal.
It's this. It's like a...
But you can't go... Jesse does S's. He fights something because his teeth match up, I think.
Yeah. I think Trump. His teeth match up when I say the snake. Kenny the Snake Snabler.
So let's go Trumpy.
Back to New York?
Quite.
Are we going quite back
That's
to
better.
New York?
You did it when you did the eyes.
This one? This?
You got the eyes.
I'm drinking.
Are you dotting
water.
The I's and crossing the T's?
Did I cross the T's?
A lot of people.
I'd like to dot the I.
Dot the I. Hold the I.
You want a little Iranian there.
I'd like to dot the I. Well, it's always easy when there's five critics.
No, we're helping you. We're helping you.
I'm just teasing.
I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Oh.
I like to tease.
So go. Okay, I like to tease.
I like.
I'm a teaser. And then
I'm not a teaser. I'm going back and
Trump,
forth.
Damn it! You're getting it.
Let Trump go. You're getting
it. Turn your head to the side.
Now tilt your head to the side.
Tilt your head to the side.
Tilt your head to the side.
I'm sorry. Which side?
The side. It depends.
There's left.
If you use the front camera, it's going to switch it anyways.
There's right. And there's left.
Left.
So which one?
And those are the ways Joe Biden should exit, and he always goes forward.
He always goes forward, yes. So
you're getting it, you just lose it.
You just have to work on it.
You just have to work on it. You're
doing someone.
You're too,
you just don't know who yet.
Yeah, you're...
Here we go. Time to do that spring cleaning, right? Yes. I want you to think about your air ducts, your carpet, and the whole house getting cleaned. You're going to save big in March when you beat the spring cleaning rush with these limited offers from our cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Of course, it's the rookie to tell you about Zero Res. Zero Res has been here from day one. And you know what? 17,000 raving customer reviews online, a 4.9 Google rating. See what the hype is all about. And your air ducts, they're like the lungs of your home. If they're dirty, your indoor air quality will suffer. So this month, get 3-room Zero Resified from Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner, starting at just $129. Take $75 off your air duct cleaning and 20% off all upholstery. What a deal. You owe it to yourself and to your family to breathe healthy, happy, and clean. Call Zero Res right now. Here's the number, 952-ZEROREZ, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the rookie special. Hey, spelled forward or backwards, it's spelled the same. Zero Res.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
Council members, we have the ultimate practical joke to play on your significant other, your buddy, your brother, your friend, whatever. Go to the store, the music store, buy a cheap harmonica, and then get some zip ties and zip tie that harmonica on the undercarriage of the person's vehicle.
Oh, sweet wow. Jesus.
Yeah. You got to make sure the mouthpiece part is facing forward and you get up to speed and that thing starts singing and it will drive them crazy.
You should have done this to Joe.
I know. I sent it to him. I was so excited that I sent it to Such right away and then I'm going, oh, damn it, I should have sent it to Paul.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
North American Banking Company brings you more of this particular best of Garage Logic. Here is Frank Caliendo.
Yeah. Greatest line ever.
Oh,
greatest
still.
Wonderful insult.
Does Frank remember you guys had a Morgan Freeman off?
Oh, yes.
I remember.
Wow, that's pretty. That's gotten better as well.
I do the old. I do the old Morgan Freeman. You do the
good one.
Back to
truth of the matter is, no, that's quite. I
sing
remember
the song, Sonny.
Well, I remember way back when you were not anywhere near that level.
But I am working on it. I am the Shawshank Morgan Freeman.
Well, not right there. You're not, Sonny.
Swinging a miss, man.
Where is Red?
You had it. You should have stopped.
Can you teach her to do Biden?
I have not even tried Biden.
Here's how you start.
Him.
Hold your nose.
Watch him.
Hold your nose. Folks, where's young man begging scrap Pennsylvania? 400 or 500 years ago.
It's hard because he might be 80, but he might as well be 110.
Yeah.
Because, and then he's had surgeries. You can tell he's had plastic surgery, right?
Yeah.
You can tell he's had a lot of stuff done. And he looks like he's probably had, because his nose is way narrower than it used to be.
So it's more of a nasal.
So, yeah, it's obvious. Yeah, I mean, folks, when I was a young man, back in scrap Pennsylvania. 30, 4, 5, 6, come on.
That's how you got to come on. Push everything together.
Yeah. No, it's like, this is how I describe it. If you ever type out a great email and you're like, oh, I am just flying here. You look up at it and you've typed for an hour. Yep. You look up, it's missing spaces and things are spelled
wrong. Red squiggly line is
everywhere.
That's
Joe Biden.
Yes. You're so 100% right.
Super califragilistic, expialidocious, quite frankly. That's, even though the sound of it. Something great.
And then by Obama being super califragilistic, expialidocious.
Ah, that's a long word I can't do.
And then Biden is super califragilistic.
Come on, what are we doing?
Folks, this is the truth.
This is no joke. I'm not joking here. I'm not joking. I'm napping. Sleepy Joe.
Oh my God!
Do you do any females?
No. I was never good at it.
Yeah.
So it was. Yeah, I could do like a feminine type of voice, but yeah. I'm sure I could do a. What's her name? Who's the woman? Like,
you look like the 4th of July.
That woman. What's her? I could do it if I worked on it.
I'm drawing a blank.
She's in Clueless. She's also got the hotel the TV show that's big.
TV show. I'm drawing a blank.
I'm trying to think. Of Clueless.
Frank, do you have any characters that are
good,
just made up?
Redirect.
Yep, thanks.
Made up characters. You know what I mean? Like, Matthew, what's the guy you do that talks like this?
That's Gil.
Yeah, that Joe Martin guy. He doesn't get the hits anymore.
That's right. Northern Minnesota right there.
Yeah. Oh, don't you know it?
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to do that now. Yeah, I do. I just throw them in little bits. I should do more of those things because that's what
a lot of times those are people that you know that aren't famous and you're kind of doing an impression or you're taking their point of view and you just it's the same as an impression. You just have to do more setup.
Yeah.
You have to tell people it's that you ever see that, you know, that type of person who does this and that and X and Y.
Because everyone can relate to someone like that.
Right. That's just what an impression is. You just don't have to set it up.
Did you make your parents laugh?
No.
Really?
No, yeah, I may tell some. Probably my mom. My dad was always trying to be, he's still alive, I think. he's always, my dad likes to be the focus. So,
yeah.
He's still, he'll come to shows and he thinks we're Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
And you just say, Dad, you're trying too hard.
I just go with it now. I used to fight it and now he does the same lines all the time. He's like, I thought I'd get better seats. Oh. It's the same. He doesn't even come up with new stuff. He thinks
he's playing the hits.
He thinks he's supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And I tell him, don't, but he comes to shows wearing shirts with a picture of me on them. Yeah. He goes, I'm Frank's dad. How you doing? And then give you his softball stats. He doesn't even tell you that they're coming. He's like, went 2 for 4 today. Like, what are you talking about? My softball game. My softball game. Didn't Frank tell you about that? Didn't Frank tell you about my softball game? My dad sent me him running a 40-yard dash, which was literally about 4 yards after he had his knees done.
Oh. Yeah.
And he's like, it's just hobbling. I was just like, and it was, he just, as soon as he got going to full speed, which was maybe half a mile an hour, he started slowing down.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy cow.
Are they still in Wisconsin?
Yeah. My parents are divorced because of me.
Got it. Were you class clown?
No, I was real quiet. I got voted second funniest in my class. Kevin Hoops won it.
What's Kevin doing now?
I don't harbor any resentment.
No, that's just like the Michael Jordan on Twitter. Was it Super 70 Sports? It had something about, you know, you've achieved success. And it had a picture of Ty Johnson in freshman year in high school and Michael Jordan as best athletes.
It was very... Will your dad go to the Milwaukee shows?
He'll go to the 70s. He's playing softball in Vegas.
So softball's a big deal with your father.
Trust me, yeah. It's bigger than Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
It's
slow pitch?
Slow pitch, yeah.
Well, I would hope so. He's got to be in his...
Yeah, he's born in 42, so he's 81.
Yeah.
It'll be 81 October 3rd.
Yeah. Does your mom ever come to the shows?
She does, yeah. She's quiet and just sits there and enjoys. And she just wants me to do Columbo the whole time.
Yeah.
I kill you. Columbo.
The eyes.
Very nice.
We were talking about this before the show started, before you got here, Frank. Talk about the reverence with which Acme holds in the comedy world, because I know a lot of comedians have Acme at their
top
of their list.
Oh, yeah, because it's one of those rooms where, because Louis Lee doesn't book just based on, popularity. He books like odd offbeat acts and stuff on purpose. He wants it to be artsy.
That's cool.
Okay. So he does a mixture of big names, up and coming. He's probably the most, like, he could probably have made more money over the years booking easy acts. You don't see a lot of TikTokers or anything like that don't have an act. Nobody's coming to Acme.
Right.
He doesn't have them. He might have somebody if they can actually do comedy, but he wouldn't. You know, a lot of these places, and it helps the business model. So nothing against it, Funny Bones or Improvs, they will have somebody who can't really do stand up, and it's an hour of basically meet and greet. But these kids are coming and paying $150 to see these people.
Wow!
So
I went to I went and saw. Do you know my cousin Chris Maddock? He's a local comedian. He hasn't left the circuit. I've heard their name, I think. I went and saw them at some basement. There were four or five comics, and they were funnier than hell.
Yeah.
They're just talking about regular life, but people were splitting their guts. I mean, there's a lot of talented comedians out there.
Yeah,
but
who knows?
I don't know how they keep new material if you're doing it all the time.
I can't imagine anything more difficult.
Is it super competitive right now, Frank? My opinion is comedy has hit a height that's just absolutely wonderful now. There's so much comedy available for consumers. But is it tough to get a gig?
Not really for me, but I don't really even try. I don't do much. But I'm out of it. I don't really.
You said earlier were you kidding when you said you're almost retired?
Yeah, I mean, I just do it.
You're only 49 years old.
Yeah, but I made a lot of money.
and he left California, so he's not paying taxes.
And I don't do drugs or drink.
Right.
So I just got kids and a wife.
Yeah.
So you were smart.
Yeah, well, partially.
Well, do you want to
She has Amazon, so there's more packages coming to her. I call it the Amazon Self-Fulfillment Center.
Yeah.
You walk into our foyer, and there's just boxes. What's in there? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? They all say Michelle on them. I know I ordered. It might have been late night. Yeah. Well, can you keep tabs on yourself?
Right.
What was it? Well,
what do you do? Do you want a different life for the next 20
or
30
years? Like my kids, and I go work when I want to. And, I mean, one of the reasons I probably do an Acme is Acme and some of these other rooms is to record a little bit and then put pieces out there. To sell some tickets in different places, because young people don't even know I do stand up. Yeah. So it's people our age, they all know me, but and sports audiences know me, but you know, up and coming audiences think I'm just this guy on TikTok who does impressions once in a while.
How instrumental was your appearances here on the KQ morning show years ago?
Yeah, big. I mean, that was the first thing that when Tom had me on, that was the thing that sold all the tickets the first time.
Right.
Went through.
I specifically remember driving in the car, listening to the KQ Morning Show. I had no idea who you were.
I thought Madden was on with
him. It was Madden, and it was Al Pacino, and he was going back and forth. You would have thought both of them were in studio. It was, and that's why I think we said, hey, we should see if he'll come on.
Yeah, I remember you guys asking me, I know you do this. Would you ever do this? I'm like, yeah.
Were you on with?
I hadn't heard it yet. So.
Were you on with Tom this morning?
Yeah, I did Tom's podcast.
Cool, Yeah. Nice. Have you ever worked with Bill Hader? It would be fun to hear you two doing Al Pacino's.
No, I haven't. But that's he's very good. I mean, he's excellent. He does more of that a little bit more of the yelly kind.
The outraged.
My house started very quietly. And then surprise! Here we go.
Whoa. God, it's just. How do you decide who you're going to go after? I mean, to develop.
I used to be, when I did it a lot, it was if sports people, because that was the moneymaker, who's doing commercials.
Okay.
Because if they're doing commercials, they're bigger than just sports.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do analysts because you just take, you just take the person and stick them outside of, everyday life. John Madden making toast.
You got bread right here. You got a toaster over here, you're going to put toast because you got a toaster. I mean, it's in the name. You put the bread in, click it down, and then boom. I mean, you don't have bread anymore.
Or Belichick. Nobody uses.
Yeah, the Bill Belichick.
The press conference you did with the houses catch fire all the time. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Almost had me urinate my pants. This is so damn funny.
Listen, that just happens. We're on to Cincinnati.
And then the little dog at the end.
Mr. Brady. Mr. Brady. Which turns out he has a little dog like that. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, there's a. If you Google Bill Belichick and dog. Like a couple years ago, I saw that he actually has. It's not the same. I had a Shih Tzu with me, but he's got like a terrier or something.
How careful did you have to be with NFL people, or didn't you were beyond that?
With in terms of what?
I mean, like, would Belichick get mad?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think he cares.
He doesn't.
Why would he? Why would he worry?
He's counting Super Bowl rings. Yeah.
The only person I ever, the only person I ever was told, don't even try that. Was Roger Goodell
commissioner? I was just going to say it's got to be the commissioner.
Don't make fun of Goodell.
Is it even possible to do him?
Oh, I think so. I think there's something, but I never really worked at it because it's only a single audience, and that's the only place that would really work.
Right,
is a Roger Goodell impression. And I've sat with Goodell, and I actually did it when the Super Bowl was here in Minnesota. I did an event here for the NFL owners, and I remember. Goodell was up front, and what was the joke? It had something to do with, I said, I've been working on my Roger Goodell impression, and then it all got quiet, and I go, but it's not ready yet. And then Roger Goodell stood up and went, just clapped. It was like Don Goodell. Don Goodello.
I got to think a Super Bowl appearance private for the owners had to be one hell of a payday.
I thought you were going to say describe that room.
Awful.
Really? Terrible.
They came to St. Paul, didn't they? It was in the Union Depot.
I don't remember where it was. I just remember
it wasn't in Minneapolis.
It was hard because they're all billionaires and nobody ever makes fun of them.
Right.
So some of the stuff worked, some of it didn't. But I remember. Gruden had just gotten that big contract, and I was making fun of Mark
Davis.
There were a couple things. Jerry Jones, I tried to go say hi to him, and he did one of those Seinfeld looking at his watches to, I got to get out of here.
You could have had a ball with Kraft.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gotten himself in jams.
Robert Kraft, he's in here. Yes. And I've done stuff for the Patriots, too. I'm trying to think. It's so funny because it's hard to even mention things. Like you're like, isn't it great at Walmart? And they're like, don't mention Walmart. He owns the competitor. It's like all that kind of stuff.
God, I didn't even think of that. So you got to walk that tightrope with everything.
These people own stuff.
That's why I say I hope it was a hell of a payday.
Trust me, I wouldn't have done it had it not
been. Right.
That's basically, unless I'm doing a club, if you look at my schedule, they're all clubs. That's because I want to go goof around.
Right.
And if it's something else, there's stuff on my schedule that you don't see that's corporate events.
Right.
And that's what I do mostly.
You're going to Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's very kind small
of a,
town.
Kind of a filler right before Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So I fly in to, now it's flying to Pittsburgh. And that was actually filling for something, but I had to move some stuff around for some personal reasons. So now I got to go Pittsburgh, Chicago, and then it's basically Chicago, Appleton, Milwaukee. That's all the same area. Right. So within a couple hours, few hours of each other. So.
You ever been to Appleton?
Yeah. Okay. I grew up in Waukesha.
Yeah.
Just up 41.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many times.
It's right on Lake Winnebago.
Yeah, the air park is right there, right by Oshkosh. And yeah, I've got friends that went to Oshkosh. I went to UW-Milwaukee, so.
Have you ever walked a room, Frank?
No, I've never been like that. I mean, I've had people that didn't like me because they, you know, I go up and they know me from sports and I start out with political characters just because it gets everybody involved as opposed to sports people only, you know.
Yeah.
If you do Stephen A. Smith, I'm ready to go here. I understand. You know, there's only a certain amount of the audience that's going to get that.
Right.
And I wanted to play more generally. So I'll start out with the Trump Biden and just keep it even and just make fun of everybody.
Right.
But I've had people when I'm doing Trump just get really, really mad. Yeah. I'm like, you're not even listening to what I'm saying.
Right.
Not really ripping.
And
with Trump, to me, you don't even have to rip. He does enough stuff on his own.
Right. Oh, he's hilarious.
That's what some people love about him and what the other people hate about him. And all you have to do is just do that kind of stuff and let people make their own judgments.
The way he puts emphasis on various words is hilarious. Everything about it's hilarious.
Well, a lot of people. There's people caught on to China.
Yes.
China. Yeah. Have you gotten the good China?
Matthew?
I put it away in the buffet.
I'm trying to see if I still have it.
Who is that?
You are Alec Baldwin.
I'm trying hard.
Hard.
It's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which you eat
a lot. You've got a lot. Go from a lot. A lot of people.
A lot of people like ladders to climb. They climb up.
Yeah, a tremendous amount of people. Some of the best people. There's a lot of people.
There are a lot of rungs.
And I do. I know. It's very. You got to be secure. You have to be very secure.
Sometimes you have to be soft.
Soft.
And sometimes hard.
Hard. Like an egg.
A hard-boiled egg.
Mr. President.
Which is orange in the middle.
The man that sits across the table often gets criticized for not being on board. Could you please convince Mr. Suchere why he should be on board the Trump train?
Well, listen, it's a tremendous train. It's a great train, and a lot of people are not on the tracks. And if you can't find your way, you have to understand there's a lot of problems. And people don't love this country. And I know you love this country. You just might love it incorrectly. And if we can get you to understand how to correctly love, and a lot of people incorrectly love, you can see it happen. It happens in lots of different places. NBC used to do a show about it. You have to have proper love. And if a guy named Hanson shows up, you know it's not the band. It's a guy who's offering you cookies.
Oh, the what you're capturing so well, of course, is his exaggerations. Everything's spectacular.
There you
everything's
go.
Beautiful.
There
it's
P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum. Yeah. I say he's the, you know, Biden's your grandpa.
Right.
And Trump's your uncle that you're not supposed to be around for too long.
Right.
So it's like, are you going to go with Grandpa Biden? That's fine. Just don't let him drive at night.
Right.
And then Uncle Trump, he took you to the bar last time. You can't. Yeah. You're only 16. You can't do that.
Right.
So.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Damn.
Quite frankly.
What's your website?
For tickets, it's frankonstage.com, which is just a part of frankcaliendo.com.
Yep. Okay, frankcaliendo.com.
Oh, man, I don't know. I coughed a second ago, and I got to pee really bad now.
And your podcast. What's your podcast?
Is this a pee cast? Is this a pee cast?
Yes.
Do you want to take a leak?
Yeah, he's got to go.
Is there a bathroom right around here? I mean, I can take a...
Do you need to take a leak?
A leak.
A lot of people.
A lot of leaking. A lot of leak.
Now you sound like the guy who does Dr. Evil.
I did a thing about that. You know what? Let me pee, and I'll come back, and I'll do that.
All right.
Where is the bathroom?
Take a break.
All right.
Hit the sounder.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hit the sounder.
Please.
Right now.
Please.
No,
you're rolling.
Okay. Go ahead.
That was awesome.
Go into the women's room.
Well, he's not going
to. I know you're not.
No, listen to this.
I forgot you could
stop. In the middle stall, there's a
female. Did you get that whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Got
tremendous because it was very good.
There's a female urinal.
A female urinal?
In the middle stall in the ladies' room.
Of course
that
there
is. That is on the cusp. Hubbard
ahead of its time. Ahead of its time. Telling the future. Telling the future. is only a 1970s bathroom can. Would we like to do some upgrades to the bathroom? They said, no, no, thank you. There's no need to. Because we're still keeping America great where it was. With the powder blue urinals.
We won't let them remodel because it's so awesome.
Oh, it's just wonderful.
A lot of people like to tinkle standing up, especially women.
And bears. I believe bears are standing tinklers. And I'm not talking about the guys in the magazine with the chains on them.
No.
I'm talking about a different type of bear.
So, all right. So people said to me, so the three voices that are actually fairly close are Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr., if you do this, you just have to belch out words.
Yep.
If you slow it down and raise the pitch, it becomes Dr. Frickin' Evil.
That's right.
Yes. Now, if you take Dr. Evil and you make
it a little bit softer, quite frankly, throw me a frickin' bone here, please. It's Donald Trump.
Yes.
That's a morph.
How we stumbled was on Monday when you, I don't know if you were reacting to people's tweets, but someone had asked you to do Bat Trump.
Oh, that's actually old. I reposted it.
Oh, you reposted it. That's why. But it was funny.
Bat Trump is,
Gotham City.
I'm going to make Gotham great again. A lot of people. All the bad guys. Insane Bane. Sleepy Joker. Nancy Pelosi.
Like people love that Nancy Pelosi doesn't even have
she's just
Nancy Pelosi.
But you could do Trump. For anybody, couldn't you? You could turn anyone into Trump.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With those kind of superlatives and adjectives.
Oh, I've done Trump as a priest.
Yes. Oh, let me hear Trump as a priest. He usually doesn't even know when Easter is. Right.
Well, a lot of people, tremendous. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 3 weeks since my last confession. Well, a lot of people have been coming to confession. It's very busy here, so it's hard to get a time. I know, and you might have tried to get a time in the confessional. I'm opening up the tiny little door so I can see you with my eyes. Tell me your sins. You do it. That's a tremendous sin. What a sin. Probably one of the best sins I've ever heard. But listen, I've done a lot worse. I myself can top that. All right, say five Hail Marys and two Our Fathers.
Right.
And we'll see you on Christmas.
Cheaster.
All right. Which was Christ's birthday.
Oh. Who's the other guy?
J.L. Cobbin.
He's great. He's very good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great Trumps
now.
Yeah,
but you're pretty good.
Yeah, I know, but he's specializing. There's a lot of people that specialize in it now. The guy on SNL is real good.
Yeah, he is very good.
There's so many people. I didn't think Alec Baldwin's came off so angry all the time.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
It wasn't
but
fun.
What you guys who are good at it are capturing is his
the non sequitur. Yeah.
Not only the non sequitur, but how much everything is fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
Everything's great.
I appreciate it.
I say he's used the superlatives with
superlatives.
It's
tremendously tremendous.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastically fantastic.
But it only is because of him.
Well, and that's because I did it.
Yes.
If I hadn't done it, you probably wouldn't have heard about it. I've got him down to three words. I do this mag. It's probably, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I could just get anything across. It's like Groot and Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean,
probably, quite frankly.
See?
You're welcome.
Oh, God. Do you think Rook has a shot at this?
Yeah. I think you're close. You just have to get it so it keeps rolling.
Right.
That's how it works. Is you just you do it car, over and over.
I can't
and over.
Get him to practice. He should drive around doing it.
Yeah,
I mean, not on the clock.
The car is where I do practice the most. I don't drive as much anymore. So that when I was doing colleges, going from place to place, that's when I worked on a lot of impressions. And there's something about doing it as a second thing. You're watching. You know, you're paying attention to driving. You're doing it in the back of your head. I think that would always work for me.
Mm-hmm. So you're just reading license plates and billboards and things like that, basically.
Yeah. Or just talking to myself.
Okay.
Just doing that. But you're doing something, so you're just ingraining it in you as you're doing something else. So it's just... It's,
but you're working on your craft the entire time.
Yeah, you're working on it.
Is there someone you're working on now that isn't? But isn't in your mix?
I'm trying to think. There's always a lot that I... It just depends on... there's some that are close that I have to work on to get them even there because they aren't to muscle memory yet. There, Leonardo DiCaprio is one that's like when you're doing like the Wolf of Wall Street kind of voice. Sure. That 5 years ago when I first came to Stratton Oakmont, you know, that kind of thing. There's John Malkovich. I believe I'm telling you. There's always
you
those.
Do Jeff Bridges.
That was going to turn into Jesse the Body.
I've
never been able to do it, but I know where it is, and I know people who do it, so I tend to not because they do a. There's a couple people that do. Piotr Michael does one. Ross Marquand does a great one. So there's people who, when people do them, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's already being done. Right. So if I think of it before I've seen them do it, I tend to not care. But if I see somebody do it, then I'm like, I don't really. But that's not what everybody else does. Everybody else just says, oh, somebody's doing that. I'm going to do that too.
How have you kept a level of sanity with your success? It sounds like you held on to your money. You're not buying drugs, and I mean, you're drinking stuff.
You're
like
not divorced
yet.
Okay, he has an announcement on Thursday.
Yeah, I haven't seen the latest credit card statement. I don't know. I just
because so many just go off the.
Yeah, I never got that famous to be like that, though. I was fairly famous when my TV show was out, and I was always like, I want to do one job and try and do it as well as I can. And then you're always fighting against so many things. And, you know, you guys know what that's like in your world, too. So it's the same way. Where there's always thousands of opinions in suits telling you how to do stuff that you've done your entire life to get
there.
Oh,
boy. Yeah.
And so... I didn't try to do five other things. I see that, and everybody's trying to get ahead and get to the next thing, whatever. And I'm like, I just can't. It's just never been my style.
How old are your kids?
No idea.
Perfect answer.
17-year-old junior in high school is my daughter, or senior in high school is my daughter. My son is 19 and a sophomore, sophomore at ASU.
Does he do any impressions?
They can both do them.
Really?
They don't really try, but they can. Yeah. They don't want to be too much like me.
Right.
They want to be better.
Right.
No, they just kind of do their own thing. My daughter wants to be in PR and stuff like that. That's what she likes. She likes the Hollywood thing, but she likes behind the scenes and promoting that type of stuff. She'd be great like as a you know, like a big party promoter, like international businesswoman type of thing. My son is in finance and that type of stuff. He'll be good at, I think, just doing business. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll end up, I think, being a wheeler and dealer type of thing. He sells shoes online and he does that kind of stuff.
So. Well, he'll take care of you in your old age. He'll take care of your money.
Yeah, I got it all set up. So
you'll start showing up to his business meetings talking about your softball game.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God. If I ever do that, just hit me with the softball in the head. See, I've never wanted attention. My dad is like a big, he just wants attention all the time.
What do you do for a living?
He was a sales rep.
Yeah. Professional softball player.
Yeah, professional softball player.
Eddie Fainer.
Yeah, so... it's just the way, I'm not wired that way. No. I just did it because it worked and it was, what else was I going to do? Mm-hmm. That was really it. You know,
you weren't qualified for anything else.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I went to school for broadcast journalism, but I didn't really want to be the one asking the questions. I would rather be the one sitting in the chair on Leno. And that's part of my problem is that's all I ever wanted to do or to aspire to was just be a guest on a talk show. Mm-hmm. So I did that fairly early and I was happy and just making enough money and selling tickets here and there and. Just do that. I try to do the podcast thing, and I can't get myself to do something and talk. I just don't feel like my opinion's that important on so many things. Mm-hmm. If you have a camaraderie in a group, it becomes more fun. So there's always something with that. But to me, just to be a person, I just don't have enough that I care about to try. And then there's also the fear factor of if I say something, somebody's going to take out of context nowadays. It's, that's not my brand is pretty safe. So... You know, even some of the stuff I talked to here a little bit outside the box maybe, but whatever. Got to do little bits here and there. But
you stay away from colleges?
Yeah, I could never do that.
Right.
One, they wouldn't get what I was doing. Two, right. they did. Well, oh, it's Grandpa Frank here.
Right.
Yeah. He's almost 50. He's almost 50.
Well, tonight and tomorrow, Acme. I'm sure you'll have a great, great house.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun. That's, yeah. Tomorrow might be sold out already. So today's, like I said, 20 tickets away.
You want to save your voice for tonight?
Yeah, I do. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Frank.
It's going to be the best. A lot of people are coming to see.
It's going to be spectacular.
Spectacularly. Spectacular.
A lot of people like Frank.
That's
a
good.
Lot. Yeah. A lot of people like Frank.
The problem with Frank when you leave is Rook will keep trying and he'll slip into 40 yeah, different right. voices.
Yeah, so that's
Iranian and Russian and Bulgarian.
A lot of people like Frank. You know? Do what now?
I always find that more fun, though, because yeah. the people always want me to stay in character for like 30 minutes. I'm like, I have no interest.
But just so you know, that your line lives in infamy on this show is, you're doing a great voice.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it
that's
is.
Awesome. Every time we do anything, they say, you're doing a great, you're doing someone. We just don't
we
know
We just
who
don't
is.
Know who. When he was doing the Morgan.
Yeah, that is incredibly vague.
Yeah. Leaves it wide open.
Yeah. Wide open. Wide open.
Thanks, Frankie.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Rolling?
Yeah, we are now. How about a liner, Mr. President?
Oh.
Come on. You can do
Come
it.
On. You Come can on. Do it. Come on. It's tremendous.
He knows what button to hit every time the podcast is on. Joe well. Sushir.
I can't well, say it, Joe Sushir.
How would you say it? A lot of people had... like Joe Souchere.
Gentlemen, would you like to take a bet? The over-under on the remaining portion of the day, Rookie is going to be doing this.
I expect it perfect by Monday.
Yep.
I'm going to give you until
He's
Monday,
giving
Matthew.
You the building blocks.
I like perfection. Perfection is good. Tremendous. First,
remember this part.
Tremendous.
Yeah, the lips.
I like
the lips.
Perfection.
The D and the T.
But don't let your Bulgarian stuff sneak in there.
This also can't come
See,
in.
See, that happens.
This is Yuri Stenghoff. He tried to do Trump. Oh, it's tremendous. Yeah, I like a lot of people like tremendous.
You know, that before we get to John, impersonation. I know it's not funny, but I get so disappointed. To hear the Twin Cities Marathon now this weekend,
they're
warning these runners. Oh, it's going to be you're going to be in critical heat. And what, they've never run when it's 80 degrees before?
Right.
You know what? They should warn them. I took a gander at the map. That's a long damn way. That's a half a day's drive if you're in Royce's convertible.
Right. The reason, though, I asked a former marathon runner about this very thing. I think it stems from lawsuits. It absolves them of
B
any type
as
of litigation.
B as in S.
No, but I think that I'm just answering your question. I think that's why
so
they do
what,
it.
So what, a runner passes out and then sues the organizers?
Well, Jess ran the last time she ran Duluth, it was when Duluth had, it was really, really warm and people were dropping like flies. And I think that's part of the reason why, because some people maybe sued the organization. I have no idea.
The record for the marathon day, which is October 1st, this Sunday, was 87 degrees. That was in 1897.
I don't think they had
now,
it
they, if
then.
They didn't have a marathon in 1974, might have been a year or two before the marathon.
Okay.
But it was 24 degrees on October 1st, 1974.
That was cold. A cold run. A run that was cold. Not tremendous, but cold.
Why don't they quit? Don't these people know you can quit? You don't have to finish.
Right.
Shut it. I'd shut it down before you got to Lake of the
well,
Isles.
Well, Janice Borman takes days to complete.
Yes. Yeah.
The Smoky Marathon.
Janice, yeah. We haven't heard from Janice. Janice.
No, maybe this year.
Let's not. That'll confuse it even more.
Right. Here's John.
Janice,
Hyatt.
How was the run?
All the effing voices in my head. It was tremendous. I am Mormon. It is tremendous. Janice. I am Janice. Yes.
Before we go to John Such, I've got a very important question. We tried to address this on Krabby, and we didn't get an answer. I'm hoping you can help me. A man steals a $100 bill from a store's register. He then buys $70 worth of goods at that store using the $100 bill. He gets back $30 change. How much money did the store lose?
$200.
That's what we didn't have that answer.
No.
All the answers that
Chris,
was the one we came up
started
with.
$200. So he lost the 100.
No. He stole 100.
Yeah.
Bought $70 worth of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then got $30 in change.
He lost 30.
No. Because you also lost the $70 in value of $200. Merchandise. Damn, Joe might be right.
Wouldn't it be 170?
That's it would be. I was going to guess 170, but now that Joe says 200, that
might
be.
Yeah, but they also cost him up a 30.
So they actually lost 130 out of the drawer and $70 worth of merchandise, so it's 200.
Yeah, but 200 what if the merchandise is 50% markup?
You just trust the old mayor. It's 35. Math, all right.
But he gave them 70 back.
But it was their 70 to begin with.
But was their 70 to begin with?
So there's 100. Now I'm confused again.
It's $200. They lost $200.
No, it's not.
No. No, it's 100. It's 100. Right?
If a ball and a bat
cost $1.10.
Yeah, I still won't get that one.
What is the answer?
A dime.
I have no idea. That's why I
asked. You son of a bitch.
I have no idea. I really don't.
Where did you hear this?
On the internet.
Oh. Then the store's down 30. Hold because on. He bought $70 worth of stuff. Store. But it's $70 worth of stuff, so now they're down 30 plus 70.
But the question is, how much money?
It's $100.
Store.
It's $100,
it's
right, Chris?
$100. It's $100.
That's what I'm coming up with too. But you got to count the goods as money
because he gave the $100 bill back.
Right.
But then got $30 in change and got $70 worth of merchandise. So the answer is
$100,
not 200. It's 100 because the $100 bill went back into the till, Joe.
No, it did not.
Yep, sure.
70 of it came back to the till, but then he got $30 in change.
No, the $100 he stole went back into the till. 30 then was removed.
Yeah.
And he got 70 worth of merchandise.
Okay, they lost $30.
Nope, 100.
No, they lost 100.
100. Here's John Hyde in the newsroom.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that.
Kenny should go out and shoot himself in the foot.
Matthew, what happened? Where'd you go?
He's disappeared. On his phone.
I'm texting that to someone. Looking.
Oh, he's sending that one to his son.
Yes.
Yeah, figure this out.
Who's in Germany right now? Yeah.
It's $100. That's my answer. It's $100.
All right. Here we
go. Before we start news, a sports note for folks my age, Brooks Robinson, the Baltimore Orioles Hall of Famer, who is perhaps the finest third baseman in baseball history, died yesterday at his home in Owings Mills, a suburb of Baltimore. He was 86. His longtime friend and agent, Diane Hawk, said the cause was coronary disease. He played 23 seasons with the Orioles from 1955 to 1977, became known as the human vacuum cleaner for his ability to snare pretty much anything in his way. He won 16 consecutive Gold Glove Awards as the American League's leading fielder at third base. Well, known for his fielding, Robinson, not a bad offensive player either. He had 2,848 hits in his career, 268 home runs, career batting average of .267. He was the MVP of the American League in 1964 when he hit 28 homers, had 118 RBIs, and batted .317, all career highs. During his time with the Orioles won 4 American League pennants and 2 World Series.
I'm not an autograph guy. I've got Mauch. I might have.
Bob Hope.
I think I have Kirby Puckett.
Bob Hope.
Yeah, I got Joe DiMaggio.
You have Roof?
No. Thanks. I was going to do it too, Chris.
But Brooks, I got Brooks. And I said to Mauch, give me a ball. I ran over to the Baltimore dugout late summer of his final year, and he signed it. I took a picture of it and put it on the on the tweet.
Isn't that breaking the rules, though?
I don't care.
Press.
Wait a minute.
That's why I didn't do it much.
Did you know? Was it well known it was his last year?
I think it was. Yeah.
So that's why you did it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, Joe.
He was called the human vacuum cleaner? Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like to break rules. Mm-hmm. Brooks, a lot of hits. A lot of hits for Brooks.
There you go. I think you nailed it.
That wasn't
with
bad,
the help of my friend Frank Caliendo.
Caliendo.
A lot of people like Frank. A lot of people like Frank.
Me, not so much.
Me, not so much.
Kenny, the reason he was referred to as the human vacuum cleaner Brooks could pick it.
You couldn't get anything by him.
You try to run by him, he'll get you.
Remember Mark Belanger?
Sure, yeah.
Was Brooks' shortstop?
Yep.
I saw, you know how they were screwing around before a game and guys are hitting balls and then
Pepper?
Sometimes the infielders are fielding them. A ball went way over Belanger's head. He threw his glove up and got the ball. Ball went right in his glove.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
By the way, Jennifer Coolidge was the actress who's
Coolidge. That's it.
Thankful for the town council access. This is all on Twitter.
Who's Jennifer Coolidge?
The actress we were thinking of.
Of what show?
Clueless.
She was
in the hotel show.
Wasn't she also in the movie
Clueless? Yes, a great movie.
Best in show. Yeah.
Best last 60 minutes spent, no question.
Yeah, good. Town council, you got paid today.
Yes. In news, in court documents.
$70 in merchandise, $30 in cash.
Yeah, $100.
$100.
Okay.
Got that, Joe?
$200.
It's $100. $100.
Kenny, you're such a troublemaker. My favorite part of Frank being here was when he talked about practicing when he was driving, because you can just see him driving down the highway. Going, hey, it's Caliendo again, driving down the highway.
Cut me off.
My personal favorite was when he said he's semi-retired, unlike other people.
Yeah,
unlike,
how do you know that?
He got the old number one salute from the mayor.
Yep. In news, in court documents filed Monday, the Hennepin County Attorney's Office said it will seek an aggravated sentence for Derek Thompson, the driver in that June crash that killed five people. The Attorney's Office, the prosecutor in the case, listed three reasons for the upward sentencing departure. One, Thompson has a previous conviction for a similar offense. Two, Thompson didn't try to help the victims or alert medical personnel about the injuries prior to fleeing the scene. And three, Thompson's offense is worse than the typical offense. His driving conduct represented a greater than normal danger to others and his conduct more serious than the conduct usually seen in this type of case. As previously reported, Derek Thompson was arrested and charged in connection with the high-speed crash that killed five women, faces 10 counts of criminal vehicular homicide, as well as federal charges for illegal possession of fentanyl and a firearm. He had a previous conviction of a 2018 hit and run in Montecito, California that injured a woman. He received an 8-year sentence for that incident in 2020, was released from prison in January after earning credit for good conduct. Thompson, as we've noted in the past, is the son of former state representative John Thompson,
who we haven't heard from in this case.
No,
it's weird. It's weird.
36-year-old man found unresponsive in his bed at the Hennepin County Jail on Tuesday after an apparent medical incident, later pronounced dead at the Hennepin County Medical Center. It was the second in custody death at the jail this month. The 21-year-old man died September 18th after what the sheriff's office also called a medical incident. In this latest incident, the sheriff's office said medical aid was immediately rendered by staff, paramedics, and fire department personnel. That aid continued while he was being transported to the hospital. Sheriff's office said the man's name and cause of death will be released by the Hennepin County Medical Examiner. Twin Cities-based Target is closing 9 stores in major cities across 4 states, saying theft and organized retail crime have made the environment unsafe for staff and customers and unsustainable for business. The big box chain, part of a wave of retailers, both large and small, that say they're struggling to contain store crimes that have hurt their bottom lines. The stores Target plans to close will shut the doors October 21st. The stores include the East Harlem location in New York City, 2 locations in Seattle, 3 in Portland, and 3 in San Francisco and Oakland. Yes, sir.
And it won't help a thing. I think they're doing what they have to do, but the problem is, especially in Portland, Seattle, and San Francisco, we're seeing it here, you are not prosecuting these criminals.
There's
no, in fact, they're passing laws in California to let you steal a certain amount of merchandise.
And not to mention that basically what will happen is that the people that would have stolen the merchandise from this store, let's say it's $100 worth.
Okay.
And you bring 30 back. No, they're just going to go to a different store. Right?
This means nothing. Again, I don't blame them, But it's not going to cure the problem. The problem is the people in the attorney's offices.
Right.
And the judges.
And they're just saying, here's your number. You can steal this amount of merchandise and not, and it's $100, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But these are organized theft rings, correct? So where are these goods going? And are the goods going to someone that's so powerful that they have influence over the lawmakers and the prosecutors? You know, I like to look at the big conspiracy picture.
Yeah, the ones I've witnessed have nothing to do with being organized. I've just seen it.
Most of the larger retail stores, that is what's happening, though. Yeah. Especially if they're stealing bigger items, they're going to an organization which ends up reselling, and basically they're paid employees. Which, if you think about it, is a little odd. You got a paid employee walking into a store, grabbing something, and leaving.
Yeah, that footage that they keep showing over and over of all these kids. There's got to be, I don't know, 15 of them all dressed in black, just tearing ass out of the store with arms full of goods.
Yep.
I think if you're in the store and that happens, the other customers should be able to beat the crap out of them.
I would advise against
it. Yeah, Joe against 15 youth. I'm thinking.
Pull out your gun and just say, freeze, mother trucker.
I'm just going to, no.
In other news, national.
Although, would it be tempting to grab a handful of goods yourself and run out?
I would go up to them and grab and steal from them. And see
out in the
like
parking
it.
Lot.
Say, how does it feel?
How's it feel, pal?
How's it feel, buddy?
Yeah. I'd like to get a candy bar.
A lot of people like to steal.
Yeah.
Wait, was that you trying to do Trump?
Yeah.
Please don't make that face again. Don't make that.
I've noticed now your crutch now, Matthew, is a lot of people.
Yeah.
It helps me get into it. I've got to find another word.
It does. But it's a good ramp up. Yeah.
A ruling by speaking of Donald Trump, a ruling by a New York judge that Trump had committed fraud.
Why are you speaking of me right now?
Leaving the fate of his business empire dangling in uncertainty was, according to legal experts, a devastating blow for the former president. If not successfully appealed, the decision will revoke the Trump Organization's business certificates. That is the corporate licenses held by Trump, his family, the Trump Organization, and the LLCs it has, preventing the 77-year-old from conducting business in New York until the revocation would be rescinded.
Mr. President, I heard the word dangling. Is it true that you are, in fact, dangling?
When I dangle, you will know it. And it is a very important art to dangle. You spin a clockwise motion.
What? Wait, what? Whoa.
And we call this helicopter. Not a lot of people are talented enough to helicopter.
There goes an Iranian again. Yet
they try.
Helicopter?
It is an art.
Yeah, Mr. President, Stormy Daniels.
You have some work to do, don't you, Donald?
It's not perfect. Yeah. I know.
Stormy Daniels, Mr. President, said you couldn't dangle, if you know what I'm saying.
The angle of the dangle was not there.
We're thinking
nothing
Mr. Thimble from what we've heard.
Many times I have tried, but not succeeded. It is difficult.
No, he would never admit defeat.
No, God, no. Experts...
Depending on your perspective.
I have the greatest anatomy.
He would blame that on Stormy for being too...
Stormy has poor eyesight.
Good point.
Her sight is very poor.
Very poor. There you go again. That's that Bulgarian again.
Hey, Rome wasn't made in one day. I know. But I will tell you, I am putting in for an extra hour of work. For this podcast, you've been leaning on me quite hard. One extra hour.
Experts told Business Insider the ruling
amounts.
A lot
of work today.
Experts told Business Insider the ruling amounts to a corporate death penalty. Former financial crimes prosecutor John Moscow said it means you are no longer a company and the judge is appointing someone to take over your assets and distribute them as the court sees fit. Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron ruled that the businessman greatly exaggerated the value of his wealth to secure favorable terms with banks, which ultimately led him to his worldwide fame.
Last night, I was doing the stray cat strut. Tremendous walk.
Hmm. See, I see a bit already. I'll just play it. You sing it, Mr.
Got
President.
It. Got it. Yes, I got you on that one.
Large crowds, mostly consisting of juveniles, looted multiple stores and damaged property across Philadelphia last night. It all started around 8 o'clock when officials said police started getting calls that large crowds were making their way into Center City. Among the stores looted were the Foot Locker and the Apple Store near 15th and Chestnut Streets and a Lululemon store in the area. Acting Police Commissioner John Stanford said Tuesday night's looting had nothing to do with peaceful protests that took place earlier in the day after charges were dismissed against a police officer who had shot and killed Eddie Irizarry. Instead, he argued that those involved in looting used the protest as an excuse to engage in criminal behavior. The chief said this had nothing to do with the protests. What we had tonight was a bunch of criminal opportunists. Stanford also said police have made at least 20 arrests so far and two firearms were recovered. Officials say they're not sure if those firearms were connected to any of the looting.
Did you say a Lululemon store got looted?
Lululemon.
That must be different than Lululemon.
No, it is Lululemon.
Lululemon.
Yeah, that's the spandex store, right?
I got pants
high price.
I got pants from them.
Yeah, they got
really something to really accentuate your butt cheeks.
I think these are Lemon Lulus.
Well,
Lemon Lulus.
Those are girl pants.
No,
Joe.
They're not, Kenny.
They're the ones that make their butts stick out.
No, they're great pants because they don't wrinkle.
They make men's clothing too.
Yeah,
Ken. A lot of people like the Lulu because it's tight.
And you make fun of me for wearing Carhartts, and you're wearing women's.
But they're not women. That's real pants. Johnny, thank you.
Joe, you know what?
What?
I have on the shirt that you gave me about 10 years ago.
Where just did I get it?
I don't know. You said you saw it in a store.
Oh, it's all about guitars?
It's a tremendous shirt.
Yeah, I like
the shirt.
I don't know why. I saw that somewhere. Thank you. Can you take a time out? And then we'll come back with this day.
We're done.
Let us take a break. A break.
A lot of news.
News. Please, Reavers. Hit the button.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Only because they come to us.
Where?
All the way from Eden Prairie, where the Lymans are holed up. The traveling Lymans on this day in 1862.
Today is September 27th.
The legislature allowed Minnesota Civil War soldiers to vote by passing the state's first absentee ballot law.
That's when it started.
There you go.
Okay, they screwed it all up for the rest of us.
On this day in 1888.
927.
John Ireland was named Archbishop of Minnesota. He was born September 11, 1838 in Burnchurch, Kilkenny County, Ireland. He arrived in St. Paul in 1852. After his ordination in 1861, he served as chaplain of the 5th Minnesota Regiment during the Civil War, organized an abstinence society, and helped bring many immigrant groups to the state. He established an African-American Catholic Church and built the Cathedral of St. Paul. A prominent Republican, he argued against the prevailing wisdom that Catholicism was compatible with democracy.
Hmm.
I wonder, not know that.
What a successful career.
That must be what John Ireland Boulevard's named after.
I bet it is.
No.
On this day in 1894.
John Ireland.
Theodore Ham held an open house at his St. Paul brewery, which he had owned since 1865 and which would be incorporated in 1896. Ham's beer has long been a popular Minnesota product, advertised by the slogan from the land of sky blue waters. It's not made here anymore. It's made somewhere else.
I was just looking up who acquired Ham's brewery.
On this day.
From the land.
No, that wasn't.
On this day in 1996, a statue of F. Scott Fitzgerald was unveiled in Rice Park, sculpted by Michael Price, a Miriam Park resident and teacher at Hamlin University. The statue was dedicated during a centennial celebration of Fitzgerald's birthday, September 24, 1896, and unveiled by his granddaughter, Eleanor Lanahan. The event was part of the literature festival organized by Garrison Keillor, which brought together aspiring writers and professional authors to talk about their craft.
I'm surprised we haven't canceled Scott yet.
This is true.
What?
A great man, and that people like to read about the wreck of the F. Scott Fitzgerald.
That'd be the Edmund Fitzgerald. But that's what Trump would think.
But yes. Mr. President, he was thirsty. He could pull a cork, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Olympia Brewing Company bought St. Paul Hams Academy in 1973. In 1983, Pabst purchased Olympia along with Hams. And then it was then sold to Miller Brewing in 1997, which is now Miller Coors.
My grandmother would not participate for the author doing one of his biographies.
Why?
Because
she didn't like him.
Hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people did not like.
He was a brat. He was there. He's my cousin.
He pulled the cork.
Which means that pulling the cork runs in the family.
He would like to drink, which weighted him down for the sea. Right. Superior.
Thank you, G. Ellers, and thank you, Frank Caliendo.
We would like to thank
you. You have to stop now because you need more private work. Yeah, you need more private work.
I'm not a private. I'm the president.
Please do the back sell, Mr. President.
A lot of people like to go to YouTube where there are videos.
Are they tremendous?
Find tremendous videos of Garage Logic, a great podcast. As you heard today, sign up. That is all I say. I got him.
Yeah, well, he went Chinese.
I have to pick my words because that varies. G words are bad. Garage Logic is not a Garage Logic, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
GarageLogic.com, a fine website.
Hey.
Cha.
You created this monster,
I would like
Suge.
To say, cha.
This is your fault.
I'm going to come in painted orange tomorrow.